the lid's off the cookie jar.
Hello, I'm Christine Bruce, broadcasting on Wet'suwet'en territory through CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC. In my summer job as a Northern Research Associate on behalf of the BC Association of Farmers Markets, I surveyed people in Northern BC about their market experiences. This job also introduced me to several people behind this important survey work. Last week, I talked to Dr. Dave Connell, a professor at UNBC and the brains behind these excellent surveys. Dave is returning to the cookie jar this week for more on how these surveys were conducted. And then I'll introduce you to Kate Poirier, the project coordinator for our 2023 BC Farmers Market Economic Benefits Study. Her insights into the project were a lot of fun, letting us both relive a pretty cool summer gig. Dr. David Connell is a professor at UNBC, whose particular interests include agricultural planning and farmland protection, local food systems, and the quest for community. Dave has been partnering with the BC Association of Farmers Markets to create, measure, and analyze this Farmers Markets Benefit Study. The BC Association of Farmers Markets is a registered BC society whose mission is to support, develop, and promote farmers markets in British Columbia. This summer, we learned a lot about farmers markets across BC, and Dave Connell is here to tell us how that was accomplished. Last week, we ended the conversation in the middle of discussing the four-dot survey questions and had just turned to the fifth question, which allows a market to ask something they especially want to know. I'm going to replay Dave's response to that question to get us back on track. Then Dave will share some of the findings between communities, regions, and in the province generally.
And then there was a fifth question that we offered to each market. How did that work? I really love that you gave them this opportunity.
Yeah, and it's one of those, it was now a long time ago when I came up with that idea, but as a general principle, when I do research, I want to make sure it's not just for my benefit. I certainly did this research because I was interested in it, but I knew that individual farmers markets and the BC Association of Farmers Markets and the Ministry of Agriculture, everyone was interested to know what these big provincial results would be, as well as the individual markets wanted to see their own results as well. So, and they did use that information to talk to their local governments and demonstrating their value. But I also wanted to make sure that through these flip chart surveys, the dot surveys, as we're calling them, wanted to make sure that just added one more element to help farmers markets make it feel like it's their survey as well. So just adding a fifth question and giving them the choice was certainly important to make it a more valuable experience for them as well, because it takes time and effort on their part to accept us coming in, and they do provide volunteers. So definitely wanted to make sure it was mutually beneficial process.
Yeah. And, you know, the markets often came up with the same questions, like how far away are you coming from? So they have an idea who their base is. Up north, the most popular one was, what was your primary reason for visiting the market? And then we just gave them a series of the types of vendors that you might be visiting. And the funny part about that was, if it was a family and the children were allowed to give their input on it, they almost invariably said the bakery, you know, it's baked goods. And of course the parents would roll their eyes and they'd look at me, well, if I answered that question, it would have been to support local, but whatever.
Yeah. Yes. More great stories. Yeah. I would agree. The two most popular questions are that markets chose themselves as what was the primary reason for visiting the farmers market. And the other one would be, where do you live? And that second question can be asked in a lot of different ways and for different reasons. So some markets were interested in really responses on a neighborhood by neighborhood basis versus other ones were like the island ones. It's on island versus off island. And I might say others would be BC, not BC, not Canada. So this geographic scale differs in terms of the reason for asking the question, where do you come from or where do you live? It actually varies. Same question, but how we asked, how we framed the question, the categories we provided were structured for different reasons.
Yeah, fascinating, eh? What people want to learn.
Yeah.
So Dave, what are you generally using these farmers market survey stats to uncover?
The most important one, the top of my list always, and I mentioned it already, is, I mean, there's tremendous value. I'm going to say there's tremendous value in demonstrating value, but the ability for a farmers market to demonstrate their contribution that they make to the local economy, to local government. To me, that is the most important thing that I want to uncover. And that really is the piece that drives the entire assessment. But we've also talked about there's so many other dimensions to this. And we talked about the shopper survey, so learning more about shoppers, learning more about nearby businesses in terms of the level of support and the relationship they have with markets. So there's multiple levels, but ultimately at the core, it really is helping markets demonstrate their value from an economic perspective to their local governments.
You know, I saw that a few times with the smaller markets in the north, that real estate is becoming more and more valuable, and communities are not necessarily keen to have a farmer's market in a spot. Oh, they take up all the parking, as you said earlier, or they're on the grass, or, you know, they attract a diversity of groups and they hang out. Well, of course they hang out because it's, you know, they're building community. And so to be able to present one of these preliminary reports and say, you know, we're bringing in $500,000 a year to the community. That says something. You can't argue with those figures.
No, they're really important numbers. I say politicians like numbers and talk about numbers and getting numbers because everyone else also, our society tends to be dominated by dollar figures and other numbers. Just the ability to quantify something resonates most easily with everyone. So there's tremendous value in being able to communicate in those terms.
Now, I think we've already answered this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, just to, in case there's something more to it that you haven't shared with us. I expect there are different findings between communities and between the four regions and in the province generally. Although I realize that, you know, you've said it a couple of times, it's early yet to have these numbers. But did you see differences in the first two surveys? And if so, then what are you looking forward to, what the 2023 survey results will reveal?
Yeah, the two projects done in 2006 and 2012, there were very dramatic differences in those numbers. The amount spent per shopper increased significantly. I forget the actual percentages, but it increased significantly. The number of farmers markets increased significantly from that relatively short period. So I think it's fair to say that those two surveys took place at a time when farmers markets were really building. I think we were still at that point in time. It wasn't the start of the kind of, let's call it the local food movement, but it was certainly during the period when things were building more rapidly around interest in local food movements and as well as farmers markets. So, though with those in mind, I really am looking forward to seeing what the trend shows. It's not as now it's twice the amount of time. It's 11 years now between assessments, so that'll have an impact on things. But just if we have with 3 points on the line or 3 points of reference, we'll gain some insight in terms of the extent to which that trend is continued. My expectation is that it has not grown as rapidly as it was back then, but my expectation is that it has continued to grow. It being, yeah, what is it in terms of it? Growth can appear in different forms. And so it's the number of markets, the amount spent, and the number of vendors per market. So growth can manifest itself in different ways. And each one of those, they're interrelated, as we talk about before, in terms of the relationship between the size of the market and the amount spent. So for those reasons, with those factors in mind, I do expect to see growth. I just don't think it'll be perhaps as dramatic as it was between 2006 and 2012. Yeah, and then we always get to put this asterisk on our results in terms of, yeah, but what was the impact of COVID through this when
Yes.
markets were effectively shut down? So it will be interesting. I guess I'm convinced. One thing, I guess I'm convinced, maybe that's overstating it, but it's strong expectation, high level of confidence that the number of markets, I believe, has increased. But what I have seen just in there when we were setting up the, before we collected any data, we were just organizing the markets in terms of which markets we were going to sample And we saw certainly, but my impression was that there are more markets that are open more days of the week, or potentially longer hours, or have more than one location. So the if we depending how you count farmers market, it we can think of it may just show up on the if you did a list of farmers markets, it would be not much different. But if you did the list of farmers market days, which would reflect the same market organization having same location, different days, or different locations, or as I say, change of hours. And then actually since yeah, the other piece is market days in terms of the season. So there's definitely more farmers markets that are going year round. So it's interesting. I guess hopefully that was clear, but it's the idea of the presence of farmers markets, I believe, has increased significantly. And that will show up in our results, but I mean, a regular shopper may actually not see that difference on a day-to-day basis or week-to-week basis through their shopping, their own shopping habits, because they just go to the same market every week. But yeah, I think this idea of, we'll call it market days, I think is one thing that I'm expecting to see increase dramatically.
Well, while you were talking, I was thinking about the pandemic. It keeps coming up in the conversation. We had some serious distribution problems up here. I mean, we're in the north and it was really hard to get things. You'd go to the market and, oh, there's no tapioca and there wouldn't be any for, 2 months. You know how everybody was terrified that they'd run out of toilet paper. And so there was a huge run on that. And the days I found the most terrifying were when people would say online, there's no vegetables. The vegetable aisle is empty. Now, I've been a dedicated local food eater for a long, long time, so I was pretty plugged into my local farmers and vendors. And so I was getting a lot, and I grow a lot of my own stuff too. And so I wasn't desperate for things. My freezer was pretty full all winter long, and I have access to things at the farmers market. But I'm wondering if we're going to see demonstrated in these statistics a general sense that we need to support local in the farmers markets in case we have another distribution problem like that. Because it was scary to not be able to feed yourself.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it'll show up specifically, but perhaps it would be if we, yeah, I mean, the pandemic definitely has changed things. And if we had done surveys over the past 3 years, we would, I mean, that would be the way to measure it. But it's more of a flip between two points that we won't be able to quantify in any meaningful way. But what I was talking about before in terms of the increase in market days, that would certainly be reflective of a larger trend. And I would put the increased awareness about our food supply that happened during the pandemic is definitely, I mean, it was a remarkable and unique situation. But it may have just reinforced this trend that was already going on in the background anyways. That's possible. It's one interpretation of it. But yeah, unfortunately, we won't be able to quantify that in any direct way.
Right. No. But it is interesting, isn't it?
It
We're
is.
watching these things develop and trying to guess what it means.
And at the start of the survey, I hadn't seriously thought about it. I think my starting point for this year's assessments were that we had sufficiently recovered, time had passed, enough time had passed that the effects had worked their way through the system. But I, yeah, as we did their surveys, there are definitely lingering effects still.
I want to go back to the dot surveys for a minute. The yellow dots are an indication of tourist and day tripper dollars. But why does that matter? I mean, who cares which pocket it comes out of?
It matters from the really classic economic development perspective. Easiest way to describe it is distinguishing between, I guess, distinguishing between new money and old money or existing money. If we think of a local economy as a bucket, and all the residents who live in that, they're employed in the local economy, so their dollars are circulating within the bucket in the sense of they get paid by their employer, but then they spend at another business that's within town, and that business then is sourcing things locally as well. So that's the idea that there's a pool of money that's just circulating within the local economy. The idea of new money is money that's brought into the local economy, which means it's added to the bucket. And the two really classic examples of that are when someone exports products. And this, you might think this makes more sense at a larger scale in terms of a national economy, and there we have imports and exports. But local economies also sell things outside of their borders. But one of those, it's one thing to sell products outside, which means someone else's money is coming into the local economy. That's the idea of, well, and it was what I call new money. The other side of it, though, is not just exporting, but it has the same effect when you tourists come into town because they're bringing their money with them from afar. And again, I like to call this as new money. So if you're following along this idea of new money, that's why, from an economic development perspective, it's bringing new money, additional money into the local economy. And that's why tourists are important, just as generically as an economic development strategy for everywhere. And why we chose to isolate tourists, the effect of tourists. And that varies by market. Some markets really just, they're not a destination location in BC. So generally, it's not a place where tourists are going to come. But other places in BC are high tourist destinations, and the farmers market is part of that tourist destination package. So the relative importance of tourists varies from market to market depending on their location. But the reason for doing it is in this context of kind of classical economic development of bringing money into the local economy.
And when you do it too, because early on, when I first started doing these things late May, early June, I mean, the kids are still in school, so people aren't doing the tourist thing as much. So we didn't use very many yellow dots. And suddenly the end of June hits and it's all yellow dots. We just couldn't keep up with the yellow dots. And of course, there were certain destinations, as I say, with Haida Gwaii, it's a lot of yellow dots.
Yeah, it's a great example. And you're right in terms of it varies by season as well.
Something that happened not infrequently was that artisans would approach my table and complain that their contribution was missing from the surveys. And it's true, we were primarily trying to discover what effect food producers were having.
That's true. In the sense that it is a farmer's market. And you said earlier, the primary reason for coming to a farmer's market is to buy from farmers. But a farmer's market certainly has a complement of the products, and it really does make up the whole package. Everything I've said so far has focused on farmers and the local food system. So it is definitely my interest and my motivation, and generally the reason why people do study farmers markets. So in that sense, yep, the artisans do have a legitimate concerns to raise. But at the same time, when we ask shoppers through the Dot survey, how much do you spend at the farmers market? We don't differentiate between food or not food. So in that sense, the artisans aren't excluded from the project. They're very much part of the farmers market, and the results reflect the economic contribution of the farmers market as a whole, including all of its vendors. So having said that, we will do an analysis, or we're going to try to do analysis to at least come up with an estimate of what proportion of that big number, the whole farmers market number, how much of that might be attributed to the farmer producer vendors. So we do want to, our primary interest is definitely in the local food agriculture system.
I have to go back to Haida Gwaii on this one because I was really shocked. That what is your primary reason for coming? I did three markets on Haida Gwaii, and they all three wanted to know that the answer to that question. And all three of them got substantially higher statistics on the crafts, arts and crafts. Usually at the markets that, you only get one or two people saying that that's their primary reason, but it was substantially higher, the number of statistics I got on that. And yet, a lot of people across the North said that they came to support local or they wanted, good quality food. You see that in tourists and locals alike, that it's valuable to them wherever they are. If they're at home or they're at a tourist destination, they still want to support local and they want to eat well.
Yeah, I would agree. The idea of support local, not necessarily product specific. So that would benefit both the artisans as well as the food producers. and processors.
So we were talking about anecdotes a couple of times in this conversation, and you must have a few. I mean, remember one of the things you pointed out to me, you happened to be at the Vanderhoof Market with me, and you pointed out that respondents were putting their dots on the survey boards in a straight line, and Quesnel shoppers also were very orderly about how they responded to the answers. But you must have seen other anecdotes. It was just such a funny thing to watch. People watching at its finest, right? At a farmer's market.
That was amusing when we're just looking at the dots and how there was just this really nice straight line of dots going down the page when there was so much other space to be able to put dots anywhere. That was one, certainly one that stood out for me this year. But the other one, the anecdotes you've already mentioned, that's another one that stands out for me is people coming back to change where they put the dot. I put that one at the top of my list of just how it's not in a scientifically justified way, but people cared about where they put the dots. So it speaks to the validity of this dot survey method. But I guess what the one that I would put in an anecdote is not necessarily from a shopper perspective, me observing the shoppers. It's more from the research experience itself. And I guess it fits in the anecdote category, but it's just how we recruit people. And maybe it's the overall experience of the research, but I guess an anecdote in the sense of it amuses me in that people generally don't like doing surveys. If you have a clipboard in your hand and you ask them, hey, would you like to take 5 minutes to do a survey? They're probably going to say no. But this case the overall priority is to have five flip chart stands or five stands that really present these questions, large sheets of paper, 25 by 36 inches or something like that. So they have a visual impact. And then once you start putting colorful dots on there, the impact is even bigger. So people will walk by. And so over the all three assessments now, but I've developed a pretty simple way of recruiting people, and I'll just watch people as they walk by. And as soon as they look over and make eye contact with the dots, that to me is I've got their attention. And I'll just say, have you done the dots? And they'll say, no. And briefly, just have to, well, we're asking more questions on behalf of farmers markets, and we're asking five questions. Here's five dots, one dot per question. So to me, if I can put that in the category of an anecdote, it's a delight to be able to do that survey, but it's just to see these nuanced ways how people interact, but how it also just resonates with them. Let's say most shoppers really do have an interest in supporting the farmers market, not just by shopping there, but also if they can provide answer five questions, they're happy to do that. But it speaks to the simplicity and the beauty of this dot survey and how easy it is to ask people to participate in the survey. So that's one thing that really stands out for me. And it's 2006, 2012, and again this year, same response from people. There's something just innately attractive about doing this survey.
You know, there was a couple came to do the survey. I think it was Quesnel, a fellow about my age and a very frail woman, older woman with him. And I said, would you like to do the dot survey? And he turned to the woman and he said, Mother, would you like to do this? And you could tell that she was mentally challenged. She had probably Alzheimer's. And she hesitated and looked a bit confused, and he was very patient with her and said, come on, let's do it. And I said, oh, so the next question you're always supposed to ask is, do you live in Quesnel, or are you visiting? Are you a tourist or a day tripper? And he turned to his mother and he smiled. He said, my mother lives here, but I'm visiting. So I had to give them two different, she got a different color, he got the yellow. And they spent about 20 minutes as he very patiently explained every question to her. And I was so overwhelmed with emotion watching them take such time and giving her the opportunity to give her opinion on something that she might just forget in 10 minutes once she's done it. But he valued her opinion as much as we do. And those moments to me are, you can't reproduce something like that. It's just one of those human moments that I will never forget.
Yeah, that's a fantastic story. Yeah.
So we've only talked about the one survey, but there are others on top of the dot survey. Well, you've mentioned the long form that market shoppers could take, and you asked more specific questions on a shopper's market experience in that survey.
We did. We won't list them all, but it really was the overall intent was to learn more about who shops at farmers markets. And I'll admit like, there was more of an academic purpose to that, but it's all definitely relevant to farmers markets themselves. One of the pieces from you know, one of the pieces I'll mention is that there were some overlapping questions. So with this, some of the questions that we asked in the dot survey, we also asked in the shopper survey. And that was so we were able to compare the results in terms of how representative was the sample of one-on-one shopper surveys. Because people are who agree to do the shopper survey, the long it takes 10 minutes to do it. They're likely to be ones who are more loyal, which means they probably also spend more money. And in fact, when we compare the results, we find that the shopper surveys are more loyal on average and do spend more on average. Nevertheless, we can still learn about the shopper surveys. So we ask them questions that relate to factors. I mentioned this one already, but factors that influence their food purchases. We ask them more detailed questions about where they shop in terms of how often they shop at a grocery store versus farmers market versus whatever other opportunities there are. And so there's questions like that. I also mentioned age and income, but all these packages of the package of questions was to learn more about the shoppers themselves. And it was yeah, so there's and because they're more detailed, we have the opportunity to do just more elaborate analyses as well in terms of doing subgroups of shoppers. And one of my favorite questions from the shopper survey, it's actually a combination of two questions. We ask really simple questions in terms of how much time do you spend at a farmer's market? And there's just four categories, so less than 15 minutes, 15 to 30, 30 to an hour, over an hour. So that question was how much time do you spend at a market? And the other question we ask right after that is, of the time you spend at a market, how much of that time, what percentage of that time do you spend talking to other people, whether that be vendors, friends, or whoever else you meet at the market? And when we combine those two questions, how much time do you spend and how much of that time is spent talking to other people? To me, you combine those and you get the, it reveals the essence of a farmer's market in terms of it's not the same experience as going to a grocery store, because no one spends more than an hour at a grocery store unless, well, they really have to. But that combination of no one goes to a grocery store for an hour and spends half of that time talking to people, that is a unique characteristic of a farmer's market from a food purchasing experience. So it's two simple questions that are asked in the shopper survey. That really, yeah, to me, it just gets at the heart of what makes a farmer's market so special. So it is my two favorite questions, and then combine them. It's the favorite part of the shopper survey.
I mean, if there's a listener-supported radio station, it means that people can get daily, every day, a different way of looking at the world, not just what the corporate media want you to see, but a different picture. Different understanding, but a different picture, a different understanding. Not only can you hear it, but you can participate in it. You can add your own thoughts, you know, and you can learn something and so on. Well, that's the way, people become human, you know. That's the way you become human participants in a social and political system.
You've got your hand in the cookie jar on CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC. And today, that's a very good thing. Who can argue with nutritious, beautiful local food? I'm your host, Christine Bruce. Before the break, UNBC's Dr. Dave Connell returned to the cookie jar to continue our conversation around this summer's BC Association of Farmers Markets benefit study, in particular, why the DOT survey works so well. Up next, Dave will explain his professional reasoning for including several other surveys, including the crowd count and the business surveys. Then, my project coordinator for this summer's work, Kate Poirier, will give some context on how we as surveyors and admin staff perceive these questions and the impact they had on market goers.
And And it's my favorite part of a farmer's market. It's a
Exactly.
deal. It's a destination for me every Saturday morning. I know that I'm going to be there. I take my coffee mug with me so that I can buy a coffee in my own mug, and I can just sit with the vendors and watch people and ask questions and listen to the music. It's a community event, and it's free.
Yeah, just you need the time. You just need to set time aside in your morning.
Mentioned the crowd count surveys as well, that give us a sense of how many people attend the market that day and see what percentage of those visitors did the surveys. I loved watching the crowd counts get done. I rarely had to do them myself. The market would always give me a couple of volunteers, and they would come very dutifully 10 minutes before the crowd count was to be taken, and they'd go off with their clipboards and they'd come back and they were very proud of the numbers they collected. It was just adorable to watch the volunteers do this because they knew that they were contributing to something really important.
Yeah, the crowd count is essential to the calculating the economic benefits. The two most important are how much do you spend at a market? That gives us the dollar amount, but we need to know how many people actually shop at the farmers market. And so we calculate, combine those two to get an overall number for that particular day of the survey. There are other details again. Present purposes, I won't go into the details, but we make adjustments to that. We account for seasonal differences, and we account that for the fact that not everyone is a shopper. Some people come in groups, so it's a household rather than five people may be represent one shopper. So we account for those things. But the crowd counts are the really, really critical. And we just for listeners' information, the method we use is just basically we count for a 10-minute period of each hour the market is open and then multiply that by six to get an estimate for that particular hour. And we do that for, as I said, for each hour that it's open. So it's a really low-tech approach. There are other far more high-tech approaches. You can use video, you potentially can use drones these days. So it's still a low-tech approach, which works with this entire project. The flip chart surveys are low tech. What this means is that every market that wanted to participate is able to participate, that we didn't have to invest in tremendous amount of training or skills or technology. So that's one of the benefits. But there are some trade-offs in terms of ensuring consistent counts and other things like that. But it's so there may be, we certainly try our best to get the most accurate crowd count. But there's still some questions that even just counting an extra 30 seconds, for example, may just add to numbers, or stopping 30 seconds earlier, really small things that can affect the overall numbers. But still, we're confident in the number of the crowd count estimates that we do get. And it, as I said at the start, it's the and combined with how much people spend are the two most critical numbers that we work with.
We did see the crowd count. Now, I have to say, I felt that they were usually pretty accurate at the markets when I considered what we the numbers that we got and what we saw at the end. But at the Houston market, we did worry a little bit because we saw a huge influx of shoppers for the coupon program at the minute the market opened. And of course, we're not supposed to take the crowd count numbers at the very start. We're supposed to wait for 10, 15 minutes in, so that's an average. And this enormous number, and then there was a trickle while we were counting. And we all laughed about that. Is this going to be accurate? But it is what it is, right? And I just made a note of that so that, you know, if you wanted to put that in the preliminary report, you could be aware of it. But I did think that they were, once I looked at the results, I did think that they were accurate to what I saw that day, my own anecdotal statistics.
Yeah, and you raise a good point in terms of those notes are critically important, where if things stand out, if it looks odd, then we will make those adjustments and usually make those, we being the myself and project manager, we will make some of those judgments, and as needed, we'll follow up with individual markets to get their perspective as well. So the crowd counts, the estimates, the little check marks we put on paper certainly are what we rely on, but we in pursuit of the best numbers possible, and we can really the best numbers we can defend, we will make adjustments. We do make adjustments to based on those anomalies that show up from market to market.
Now, then each research associate was tasked with approaching a vendor at each market to collect a market profile, to understand how seasonal sales were going, and to get a sense of how any special dates might affect sales. I really loved this element because it gave me so much insight into how the market was managing challenges like weather and special events, and how the shoppers were enjoying the product offerings.
Yeah, it is important. Another one to, well, it ties to the crowd counts in terms of we really do want to know, was there anything we need, any additional information we need to take into account? And I learned from that 2006 study that we do need to really take into account seasonal trends. We don't have the luxury for this project. We did 70 assessments this year, and we had five research associates who are doing those, doing the field work for us. But we still have to make choices in terms of some markets have to be assessed early in the season and some have to be assessed in later in the season. And we know that total sales at different times, well, the total sales vary throughout the season and they're lower at the front end and at the later end of the season. So we had to take that into account. And that's what you were just mentioning in terms of seasonal sales. And this goes back to what we were just talking about in terms of crowd counts. We take the crowd count on one particular day, and we need to adjust that for the full seasonal effect. So the interesting pieces, these additional steps beyond the dot survey that each of the research associates were doing, but it really does lend, as you were just saying, it lends some really interesting insights in terms of how the market functions, not just on the days we show up to shop, but the yeah, just the more the seasonal piece, especially then special dates that are going on, all of these things affect our ability to appropriately estimate their economic contributions to the local economy.
Now, something interesting that you just said, and I'm trying to wrap my head around it. You said that the number of people shopping at the markets goes down at the end. And that's true. I'd agree with that because the numbers are always much lower because it's colder weather and people have other things to do in the fall. But so many times when I'm doing these market profiles, the vendor would say, we have our best economic days at the end because everyone comes to use up all their coupons and they're filling their freezers. And so several of the producer vendors would do excellent economically. They would have their best days right at the end, not right in the middle when you'd expect the huge crowds to be giving them such a good, I don't know, I didn't understand it, and yet I did understand it. It doesn't make sense when you look at the numbers, and yet there, I mean, that's what I do. I hang on to my coupons right till the end because that's when I'm going to fill my freezer up.
Yeah, there are those are things we can have made note of and track through it, but it's surprisingly, aside from some of the special circumstances, yeah, the let's say if it's yeah, the peak season is usually late July, early August, and the season starts slower than it ends, which is to say that there's fewer customers at the start of the season, but at the end it's lower than the peak, but nowhere it doesn't it's much higher still than at the start of the season.
Right. Okay. All right. I saw that repeatedly, but you're right. It's fascinating. It's just fascinating how people eat and how they choose to shop.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And I mean, literally every day you go to the market, there's going to be a different selection on the food product side. Of course, the crafters and other artisans have a more consistent product, but from a food perspective, it's great to show up to the market just to see what's available. And then even towards the end of the year, it's, oh, I hope they still have some greens. Oh, yeah. And then it's don't have the lettuce anymore, but you still have the spinach or still have the kale.
Or the broccoli's coming out, or the Brussels sprouts.
Or you. Darn, I just missed the last broccoli.
Yeah. We're almost fighting over the eggs.
Yeah.
So then there was finally the business surveys. I really like doing these because I was glad that people felt they could be honest with these, and it was no surprise to learn that the northern businesses mostly really love their farmers markets. In Smithers, I think I enjoyed doing the business surveys the most because people kept saying to me, go to this other business, they'll have a really good anecdote to tell you, or make sure that you include this business. And invariably, there was some little thing like, we have to open our doors on time because there's a lineup on Saturday mornings, or there's pop-up events that people have created, like Kitten Catter Days, just because the market's on. There were drop-in family art events. It was like a celebration of shoppers by the businesses.
Yeah, as I've mentioned earlier, I was delighted to see the overwhelming positive support and positive relations between businesses and the local markets. I do want to acknowledge that it's not perfect. Parking is pretty much an issue, even for the stores that really, really appreciate being located next door to the market. Parking still is an issue, or it's, let's say, is, but for many markets, it's an issue. But yeah, it's the possibilities for local businesses to benefit from farmers markets are quite extensive, being located nearby. Yeah.
So, Dave, I want to end by asking a question that I've already asked you early in our conversation, but it bears repeating, I think. Why does community building around farmers markets matter so much to you? I mean, you can get quality food at a local grocery store, right?
Well, my first response would be it depends what you mean by quality food. There's certainly, I mean, the food sold at grocery stores keeps us alive. It keeps almost all of us alive in terms of the general population. But the freshness of farmers market products is just, you can't be compared. There is no equivalent really in a grocery store. And science tells us that as soon as an item is picked, in terms of harvested, cut, whatever it is out of the field, off the tree, its nutritional value starts to decline immediately. So when we're looking at some product that's harvested, probably harvested even before it's even ripe, because it's firm enough to be shipped at a greater distance and then put in storage and then shipped again, and then it sits on the grocery store shelf, the nutritional quality drops significantly. So if we talk about quality of products, certainly my belief is that the quality from the nutritional content perspective is markedly different in terms of it's far superior to a farmer's market. So that's not, I don't think that's emphasized enough in terms of why farmers markets are so important. As we talked about earlier, and you pointed out, it often comes down to its farmers markets cost too much. But if you look at a price or dollars per nutritional content, as I said, it's probably a far greater economic value to purchase from the farmers market. So that's one aspect, but it's absolutely critical aspect of why farmers markets are so important. But it does go, for me, that's essential to my health and the health of the population. It's really one reason why. It's almost this hidden agenda I have in terms of if more people are shopping at farmers markets, their health could improve depending on how much they purchase. But that helps everyone by lowering healthcare costs. That's a general statement, but that's definitely part of the reasons for supporting farmers markets. But as everybody said earlier, it really does come back to building relationships with farmers, with the people we meet at markets. And through the farmers, it helps us connect to the ability of the lands immediately surrounding our towns in terms of the ability to feed ourselves. And as the supply chains become more and more fragile due to climate change and other factors, having the ability to rely on our local food system is essential. But I also see all of these relationships that are happening as also essential to building a greater sense of community. And the more we care about each other and the land around us, just the better off society will be.
I want to thank you for giving me so much of your valuable time. And I think as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking the next time I go to a farmer's market and see a survey, I'm going to be one of those people that goes over and says, "Is Dave Connell behind this?" Because I've become one of your cheerleaders as well. So thank you for all the hard work that you've put in over all these years to prove how important the essential aspect of a farmer's market, the contribution that makes to the health of any community, and how wonderful that is. And it's really important that people like you continue to prove that over and over again. So thank you.
Yeah, you're most welcome. And it really is a pleasure in terms of having to work at farmers markets is a pretty nice way to do some research and to be able to contribute into something that I do believe is important is quite rewarding as well. And in that note, certainly thank yourself for all the work you did in the North for completing assessments, but you were part of that much larger team. So we had all of everyone who was involved this year, as well as the support from the BC Association of Farmers Markets. Everyone really pulled together extremely well to make this project so successful. So I'm looking forward to getting our final reports kicked out so that individual markets can celebrate what they've accomplished and share that with their local governments. And the things that I look forward to the most, perhaps, is when we get to those provincial numbers where we do a final report that brings all of the results together. And we see those numbers as well in terms of that impact or the effect of farmers markets on a provincial wide level.
Yeah, that'll be a great day when we can see what we've discovered, eh? How cool.
Yeah.
Hooray us.
Won't be long now. Oh, yeah, winter's coming, so it won't be long now.
Yep, it's coming. Well, thank you, Dave. And thank you for offering this dream job to those of us who were involved with it. It was fabulous.
I'm delighted to be able to have done that. And as likewise, in terms of thanks for the great work you did and just being part of this, it's fun and it's valuable. And thanks, Ben, also for inviting me to be part of the podcast and share our story with your listeners.
Yeah, it's fun in every aspect. It's fun that it's really meaty information, but boy, what a great thing to be involved with.
And I got to do it three times now.
Yeah, lucky you.
I'm now going to introduce Kate Poirier, who served as our project coordinator for the 2023 BC Farmers Market Economic Benefits Study. You'll notice I begin by asking her some of the same questions I asked Dave. Now, I know what you're thinking. I already know the answer to this. Wait for it. Kate's perspective is different from Dave's, and it's kind of neat to see where she takes the questions.
Welcome to the cookie jar, Kate. Considering how much fun we had over email this summer, that sounds like the perfect place for a meetup for us.
Thanks for having me, Christine. I really appreciate it.
I've introduced our connection briefly in my introduction, but why don't you explain your role at the BC Association of Farmers Markets and maybe that organization, what it offers to eaters?
So I was the project coordinator for this economic study of farmers markets this summer, and I was responsible for scheduling all of the research associates who were on the road all over the province, but also I was responsible for coordinating these farmers markets, and there was 70 farmers markets with multiple staff and volunteers who were sometimes easy to get a hold of and sometimes impossible. And the logistics of coordinating all of these different teams, dozens and dozens of people, plus we had forest fires, we had ferries, we had ferry cancellations, we had road trips, hotels, you name it. So it was a lot of organizational manpower involved in making all of this happen.
And BC is a big province, and there were four research associates, plus a couple of others who were part-time, plus you and Chloe sometimes getting involved. So that's a lot of people, a lot of places, and as you explained, a lot of different details to coordinate. That's a big job.
Yeah, absolutely. This province is huge. There were about six people on our team, and then I'd say, maybe 90 people on the farmers market side to stay in touch with all summer long. And most of the time it worked well, but for a lot of these markets, it's a real challenge because they're small, they have unpaid volunteers, and the volunteers sometimes of these smaller markets are also vendor businesses. So they're working full time, outside or in their arts creating. They don't have dedicated hours at the computer. They're in remote communities. They don't have good Wi-Fi. And there's so many challenges that if you're, say, living in Vancouver or something and, very tech looped in, you wouldn't even consider. But once you get to the rural areas and, to different areas across the province, there's a lot more details happening.
You make some good points there. And the other thing that I've worked with farmers markets for a long, long time. I thought I'd seen everything, and I'm probably going to say this a couple of times in our conversation today, but I have to say I learned a lot about farmers markets and the inner workings as a research associate. And as you were talking, I was thinking the biggest challenge I saw was with the market managers. You're right, they have their own stall to manage, their own farm to manage. But they also have tons of email to get through, and they have a lot of little statistics that they have to deal with on a daily basis. They're not always at the computer, and they've got a tough job already, and they're trying to fit us in.
Yeah, absolutely. They're working phenomenally hard out there to keep all these balls rolling all at the same time, you know, and a lot of times markets really rely on just one or two main organizers. And if they don't just keep going almost 7 days a week, then the market's not going to happen, or it's going to have more challenges. So yeah, a lot of the rural communities, the smaller markets, they really have their hands full. And us trying to send a team right in the middle of the busy summer season, it can be a real challenge for them. But we are very happy that by the end of the season, we made it to every community that we wanted to make it to and that we had set out to make it to.
Big kudos to those market managers. Honestly, I was more impressed with them this summer than I think I've ever been.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. Yeah.
In my role as a research associate, I was tasked with collecting statistics at farmers markets to learn what effect markets have on a local economy. And there were several surveys used to collect these stats, but everyone's favorite, and I mean by a lot, was the DOT survey. Would you be willing to describe that one and how it works?
Okay, I recently learned that some people refer to this as a DOTmocracy. Have you heard that term? Okay.
What a great term, eh?
That's perfect. It's a DOTmocracy. It's so accessible and fair and equitable, I would say. So basically what we would do, instead of using any modern technology like iPads to answer a survey, we would just have a few very brief, easy questions, but they would be printed out on a giant poster board. And each customer coming through would answer each question with one sticker. And by the end of the day, you would have this big poster board and it would have rainbow color of stickers all over it. And I think the best part is how grown-ups coming through would get so excited to be handed stickers. Like, you could see the kids, they would want to participate, but the adults, oh, you're doing a survey, that, oh, wait, I get stickers? And their face would light up like, let me participate. Please let me participate.
Yeah, that, and you know what? That made my job so much fun, to watch the reaction that we would get on people's faces. And the fact that a whole family could do this thing together, that was great, because we got a lot of input. You know, there were times where the parents would look at me askance because, well, you know, if it had been me making this decision, I'd have said this, but my five-year-old thinks it's that.
You get a lot of internal family debates about why they're at the market and what's the most important thing. That's really interesting. I think another interesting part about that DOT survey and how colorful and interactive it is, that's really tactile, so it appeals to us as human beings, that people, the public, have gotten very distrustful since 2020.
Yes.
And public participation with an institution like that gathering data is often not well received. And I think I'm surprised that we had such high participation for an economic study in this day and age of how strangers distrust each other, if you know what I mean. I think the colorful, tactile appeal of the DOT survey allowed us to bring in more people than we might have seen with other methods, if you're doing a phone call or just a digital survey response.
Agreed.
How do you?
I think those dots helped us to overcome a lot of our suspicion and fear of each other.
Yeah.
Because it was fun. Whimsy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree.
I had a lot of people actually ask me to pass on their congratulations to whoever was behind this because they were so impressed with it. They wanted to do it. And you're right. People don't normally want to do a survey, but people were drawn to this. They've designed these research tools, and at almost every market, someone would approach me and ask me if Dave Connell was behind this, which is, you know, the kind of reputation that I was really proud to uphold.
That's amazing. Yeah, this is absolutely incredible. And the work that he's done to bring this to the table for the third time is really impressive.
So there were four questions that we were asking at virtually every farmer's market in BC. I love that you were coordinating all this because you were seeing it from a different perspective than I was. I'm putting up the same question every week, but you're seeing the statistics roll in for each of these questions. And so I'd love to hear how you felt impacted by them when you would see the stats coming in.
Okay, sure. Yeah. At every single farmer's market we went to, we asked four of the same questions. So that was 70 farmer's markets. And those questions were, one, how often do you visit the market? When did you start coming to this market? How much do you plan to spend today? And are you going to shop in the neighborhood at other businesses? And how much do you plan to spend there? That was one question. It was really interesting. I mean, I think just the scale of a project is impressive, because you see these four questions at a single market and, oh, a couple hundred people answered. That's interesting. Look at this. But once you get across the province, you get a really good response rate. You're going to end up having over 10,000 people answer each question. So that's incredible. That's an incredible amount of data to look at. And you can look at regional differences when you get into it. So some things that I would say from those questions that would jump out at me: when did you start coming to this farmer's market? Well, that was always a question. When did you start shopping here? That would tell me about the entire area when I would look at it. Because if the person answered 2023, their first year visitors, I would see the percentage of customers who are first year visitors. And if that number was really high, say it was 40%, 40% are brand new shoppers. Unless this market just opened last year, that tells me that this area probably has really high tourism. Because first-year shoppers have high, very high odds that they're tourists coming in. That's why they've never shopped here before, right?
Right.
So automatically, just seeing the number just jump off, whoa, that number's high. Oh, I didn't know there was high tourism in that little town. And I take a closer look and I discover, oh, no, it's a really popular route for tourists this time of year. And all these other stories would come with that data point. And once you took out the first-year shoppers, if you took out the tourists from it, you would see a completely different bar chart appear from the locals, because they would have a very low rate of first year shoppers, and they would have a very high rate of shoppers who have been shopping there for 10 plus years.
Yeah, a lot of loyalty.
A really high loyalty, but it only became clear once you were able to separate the tourists from the locals for that number. And some markets, that question would come out with very low first year visitors, like, oh, everyone's been coming here for years. That's really great. That's a lot of stability for the market. They have shoppers returning. That's what you want. But it's also interesting to look at, say, why aren't the tourists coming? Is it because there's no tourism in the region? Or is it because we're missing a target market that we could be appealing to better?
Now, I have to interject here. I did the three markets on Haida Gwaii, and I saw the statistics flip on their head. Because it's a huge tourist market, right? Like, there's a lot of tourists coming in there. But I would frequently see that they come to Haida Gwaii every year, or they live there for 2 months of the year, and they're very loyal to their markets. And so they would be repeat returns, even though they're tourists, right? And one of the markets, Talal, which is a very tiny one, is only open because of the tourist traffic. That's the only reason they have that farmer's market, which seems so counterintuitive to me, because a farmer's market usually is there to support local. But these are people who are tourists. And I would say to them, one of the questions is, you know, what are you doing here? And they would say, because we're supporting local. And I think, yeah, but you're not local. And so, like, you have to think now, do you support local when you're at home and it's a really big value for you? So when you're, even as a tourist, you're still supporting local? Or is it because you love Haida Gwaii and you want to encourage success there? What is that? What am I looking at here? But it's one of those magic moments where you think, I love people. It can't be a bad answer, right?
No, there's no bad answer. Yeah, they're there at the market. They have a reason for being there, and you want to hear their stories, right?
Yeah.
That's it for the Cookie Jar this week. My guests today were Dr. Dave Connell, a UNBC professor who loves building community around local food, and Kate Poirier, the project coordinator for the 2023 Farmers Markets Economic Benefits Study. Something Dave recently recommended to me was the documentary The Biggest Little Farm. The film captures an 8-year experiment in biodiverse farming that demonstrates clearly the interconnectedness of everything. I highly recommend it. The Cookie Jar is produced by Christine Bruce, with music by Elijah Larson, aired through CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC. Available anytime at smithersradio.com or anywhere you get your podcasts. Thank you for the visit. For more on Dave Connell, visit unbc.ca/David-Connell. To follow the results of the BC Farmers Markets Benefits Study, visit bcfarmersmarket.org. You can find us on Facebook at The Cookie Jar on CICK.